The 2024 NCAA March Madness Men's Tournament is back.
You can feel the madness.
This is the big dance.
The biggest event in college sports is kicking off Tuesday, March 19th, with the first four, and you don't want to miss a second of the action as we march all the way to the Final Four on April 6th and 8th. Catch all the clutch shots.
Long three.
It's good.
Big time plays.
Rejected.
Oh, what a pass.
Big finish.
Upsets, Cinderellas, Blue Bloods, and more.
Oh, my goodness.
Plus, this year, there are more ways to get in the game with Max.
What a move.
Dropping jaws here.
Tune in to the NCAA Men's Division I Basketball Championship, March 19th through April 8th on TBS, CBS, TNT, True TV, and stream on Max to stay up to date on the chase for a championship.
The madness is real.
Great basketball.
Oh, wow.
Great stories.
He's not human.
That's what this tournament is all about.
Who are you liking at the top?
All right, so there's three guys that between, you know, being here and then last week, all week at API, that can ball strike currently and keep up with Scottie Scheffler. And that's what we're asking someone to do.
Welcome back to The Loop. I'm Steve Hennessy. I'm handling hosting duties today. I'm joined, as always, by Alex Myers, Christopher Powers. Very excited that we're joined by a friend of ours and a new friend of the brand, Keith Stewart, CEO of Read the Line. He's a 20 plus year PGA pro. He's, you know, big time plus EV better the last 2 years on the PGA and LPGA tours, and now official content partner of Golf Digest, which we're excited about. And obviously what separates Keith and what led us to wanting to do this deal with him, besides being a friend, is Keith being on site for many events per year. And Keith is joining us on site at the Players, and he's going to give us some insights, what he's seen so far this week, what he expects, that kind of thing. So Keith, welcome to The Loop.
Thanks. What an awesome introduction. CP, good to see you. And Alex, it's great to meet you for the first time today. The only thing I'm more excited than this partnership is for the Players this week, because the weather's beautiful, and let's get after it. Let's have some fun today.
Sweet. Well, you know, Jay Monahan's presser was earlier today. That's going to be a whole nother podcast. Not here to discuss all that stuff. Curious what kind of interesting things you may have seen so far while you've been out there this week, whether it's the course, players you've seen on the range, or, you know, anything that might help from a betting perspective.
So this morning I made sure before all of this that I got over to the range and did my due diligence to see a couple of people that sparked my interest last week when I was on site at API. And the guys that were hitting it great there are definitely in a good mood this morning and this afternoon. Beautiful day for practice. Last week, one guy that stuck out in my mind, and he did not putt well, but he hit it, probably hit it second best to Scotty, and that was Siwoo Kim. And golly, he looked good on the range this morning. It was funny. He was hitting balls next to Jake Knapp. And, you know, you look at Siwoo, and it's a very pretty, but yet very kind of stable positional swing. And then you look at Jake Knapp with that kind of fluidity and the syrupiness of like a Freddie Couples. It's just so interesting. 144 players in the field, $25 million on the line. And some the guys go at it so differently. And it's just really cool to see. Golf course is impeccable. I'm sure we'll get into all of it, but this place is ready for the flagship. There's definitely a vibe going on here. Biggest full field event of the year so far that signature or has one of these elevated purses. So, I mean, it's like a major. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like a major. You know, it's been called the fifth major, the best field in golf. I think we're going to go with the strongest collection of talent for a non-major now. That's undisputed this week here in Ponte Vedra. So before we get into our favorite bets, we're going to have the Scottie Scheffler conversation, all that. Keith, why don't you take us through your key stats, sort of what you're looking for, you know, in identifying your bets this week?
All right, I'm going to go through three quick things that'll get you down the path to weekend wager success. The first is make sure when you're looking at data or you're listening to any talking heads, obviously they'd be secondary to us, but know that they are talking about from 2019 to 2023, because that's when the event was played in March. Do not go 10 years back. May was a totally different animal. We were just in the press room with Xander, and he talked about the two differences. These guys know it. It's a different agronomy. The whole thing is different. Since they came back in 2019, I mean, we are talking Rory, JT, Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler, major champions making a major push at this place. The better players are going to be rising to the top because the agronomy is way more predictable than when you're on Bermuda in May. And that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing is that don't get thrown off by other talking heads when they say, okay, 40% of the shots on approach are coming in from 75 to 150 yards. Right. Who cares? These guys are all great with wedges. These are like the 144 best players in the world, right? So being a good wedge player, it's a requirement to be here, right? Yes, somebody's going to pop and they'll hit a couple close. But when you really break down the difference on approach, which is no doubt the most important strokes gain category, first and foremost, is the largest gains by those last four guys came from 200 plus. And what shots are those? Those are the par threes that are long. And it's also, it comes in on those par fives, those scoring shots, the second shot in. There's like two or three really long par fours where they lay up off the tee to a fat part of the fairway and they have to hit in from 200, 210. That's where you're going to distance yourself. Strokes gained is about where you gain. So you don't want what's required. You want to go where you could separate yourself. And if you look at those leaderboards, the Hidekis, the Hovlands, those are great long iron players. That's your clue. And the third thing is that this goes back 20 years, but there have been more gains around the green by the winners in the top 10 on average than there are off the tee. It's a very positional golf course. We know it's short. We know you don't have to like get the, you know, Rory's the number one driver in the world. You know, his superpowers are kind of mitigated here. You got to get it in the fairway or you got to get in a position to attack these greens and you're going to miss them. On average, the greens are 2,000 square feet smaller than what we saw last week at Bay Hill and they were missing them there. Think about Scottie's final round last year, the chip in on eight, you know, to get that momentum of his round going. Those Craig Perks, you know, all of these great chip-ins, the Tiger putt around the green and on the greens, make sure that you are targeting players that can get the job done there because, you know, that's kind of the secret sauce after you're looking at approach. And of course, let's get the right time of the year.
Yeah.
Steve, you said don't go back too far, which I don't disagree with. But one trend that seems to be a legitimate trend is the early late wave trend. A lot of the winners playing early Thursday morning and late on Friday. Are you taking any of that into account? Particularly for a first round leader bet this week, which you mentioned Siwoo Kim before, he's playing Thursday morning. I think I might live bet that right now.
I mean, Siwoo looked so good, right? And he gained over two shots ball striking last week. Now he lost two with the putter. I get that, but this is a place where he's comfortable and he looks really comfortable over the ball hitting it. AM, I mean, of course, why do we always love the AM players on Thursday? Because they get perfect greens, guys. Yeah. You know, any tournament player like myself, if you can request a tee time, you always ask for the morning. You'll always wake up early because you get less footprints. And there's always a less chance. I mean, we're a mile from the Atlantic coast. So specifically, the 17th green itself is like 3/4 of a mile from the beach. So straight as the crow flies. So you're going to have a chance for less wind. So it doesn't surprise me on a very challenging golf course that the guys get off to a good start, then can follow it up on Friday afternoon and just hold on for dear life until they get into the weekend. And then they kind of jockey for position. So all that makes sense. But the 15 for 17 early late, I like this one. The last six winners in a row finished T22 or better in the event prior. So we know almost all the guys we're going to talk about today played last week where I was at Bay Hill. If they weren't in the top 22 last week or top 20, just
the cross off.
Gone. Throw them away. They're done. Now, I know, you know, Siwoo wasn't one of those guys, but hey, CP, I'm not in a betting state. Double it up for me on Thursday morning. All right.
That makes it easier for Myers and I to stay away from Cam Young because I believe he finished outside the top 22.
Yeah. I've seen there's like a did.
82-1 available on Cam Young. That's egregious. I don't even know if we could get roped in there.
80-1, I could dabble with. Well, Keith, you know, I was telling these guys the other day, and I was only semi joking about going all in on Scottie Scheffler this week. So I want you to either talk me out of that, talk me into that, because you're saying don't look 10 years back or beyond, and that's a great thing to say, because we always talk about the unpredictability of this course and how no one's ever gone back here. But you're saying we are going to start to see guys go back to back here, and obviously Scottie winning here by 5 shots last year seems to be the heavy favorite coming into this week.
Well, there's 2 things I'll counter there. Number one, this is the 50th year, but in 49 previous years, no one's ever defended. Right. I mean, we've had some pretty good winners here.
Pretty good.
And what's even more unique about that, there's only a couple guys that have won it twice, I think 5, and none of them were even close to one another. I think the closest one was 6 years apart. You've got Tiger was 12 years apart. Steve Elkington was like 17 years apart. I mean, it's crazy how it goes to your point, Alex, where you're talking about how up and down this place seems to be. Here's another one for you. And this one really caught my attention. In the last 2 years, only 4 guys finished in the top 25. None of them are Rory.
Wow.
And none of them are Scottie. Okay? So it's Adam Hadwin,
whoa,
Victor Hovland, who had 2 top 10s, Max Homa, and Russell Henley. Now, uniquely enough, they all have H to start their last name. But those 4 guys are the only ones in the last 2 years that finished in the top, not 10, 25.
Wow.
That's no Rory, no Scottie. I mean, no Xander, no Patrick Cantlay. I mean, so like, that's what I would say to counter that. It's so hard to be, you know, that guy for multiple weeks in a row. And Scottie's done it with the ball striking, but are we all going to take a bet on his putting against 143 other really good players?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Last week was the 6th best putting performance of his career, and he lost strokes in that first round, then figured it out. So to your point, Keith, he figured it out with the spider mallet. And, you know, are you taking those 3 rounds, you know, with more weight than this longer, you know, sample size that we've seen? So, you know, it's probably bold to fade Scottie, but at that plus 550, 6-1,
so
is
tough. I know.
That's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, the tactic there, boys, you know this, is that
parlay is a million thing.
Well, you could do that, or
that's your tactic.
instead of going there, you know, I would suggest that you take him top 5, right?
Yep.
You get some money in the bank, and then you watch. And then you hope that he hits the eject button at least once on Thursday, or somebody goes out, lights out, that's like a Zalatoris or a Hideki, and they get to that point where they're 6 or 7 ahead of him, and he starts to approach 10-1. And then if he hits 10-1 at any point, you just boom, you just hit that thing, and then you could parlay it with a million things, but that's the only way we could play Scottie right now. There's no way you're taking this guy 5-1 with the way he putts. There's no way.
Great point. He's going to be probably the most popular bet this week, just from all the casuals. But if you look at the money bet and all the tickets, it's going to be a little different. CP, curious your favorites at the top, you know, and if any of those have changed based on everything that Keith has said so far.
I'm going to roll with Willie Z this week. Haven't been on him the last few weeks. This was where it kind of all ended for him last year. If everybody recalls, where he kind of shut it down. I think he made the cut and actually finished the tournament in like 75th or something, and then shut it down. So a little bit of a revenge factor there. Love his game for this course. Keith mentioned it before. Yeah. You got to be able to attack with your irons from that 75-150 range. That's kind of right up Willie Z's alley. And he's now gained strokes putting in 3 straight events. Did not ever think we'd live to see that day. So while it feels a little squarish to kind of try and hit on this Willie Z win, I love it, and it's actually a pretty decent price if you shop around a little bit too.
Yeah, we did our video with Keith Monday, and we didn't compare notes, but we said Willie Z was the most attractive odds at the outright price. 35-1 I'm looking on DraftKings here.
35, that's great. I saw 25 the other day, and that kind of scared me away. But yep. 35, I'm in on that.
I'm going to be betting that here at the office before I get back to Jersey and see it's 28 or something. Myers, what about you in terms of the outrights? Has Keith officially talked you out of going all in on Scheffler?
He has. And, you know, actually, it's funny you mentioned that live, you know, maybe a potential live bet on Scotty if he dips a little. I told you guys last week, I got Wyndham Clark five holes into the tournament at 90-1 last week. I mean, you can get incredible prices if you have a little patience and the guy, you know, gets off to a slow start. But no, I'm glad to hear CP said Willie Z. That's where I was going as well. Again, like I said, at 25, it was going to be a tough pill to swallow, but 35, I think it's a no brainer. I was on him. What was it? The week before he really started getting going this year, I was on him, and I was a week too early. And then I was kicking myself, and he's played great since, but he still hasn't won. So I didn't miss the outright winner with him yet. And it's going to come. I still have my bet from last year on him, to win a major this year at 12-1, which is now was looking horrible, but now it's looking a little better at least. So no, I'm rolling. This doesn't count as one, obviously, but he's my top choice as well. I'm with CP on Willie Z.
Consensus from the Loop boys. Keith, give us a different name other than Willie Z. Who are you liking at the top?
All right, so there's three guys that between, you know, being here and then last week, all week at API, that are hitting the ball, that can ball strike currently and keep up with Scotty Scheffler. And that's what we're asking someone to do. Willie Z is definitely one. I already mentioned Siwoo. And the third one has won already this year. And it's a perfect golf course for this guy. And that's Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
He's striping it too. And the one thing that I really like about Hideki, maybe versus those other two, is that his short game is so underrated, and you have to be able to scramble around here. Now, everyone always says, oh, Keith, scramble to save par. You're not going to be in it. Scrambling is also playing those short par fours and getting up down for birdie, you know, getting close to those par five greens and two, which you can do on all of them here, and then making sure you get up and down for birdie. Like Hideki likes this place. He suits this place because what's his biggest weakness, right? His kryptonite is also putting. So, you know, we've seen a lot of like average putters win here. Yes, we've had our Cam Smiths and stuff, but there's been more average guys than anything else. So I like Hideki. And when you talk about, you know, guys having maybe a bad taste in their mouth or a little bit of a revenge factor, I think about back in 2020, round one happens. Oh. We couldn't even believe round one happened. Right. Round one happens. Yeah. Hideki goes out in 63 and then Jay comes in and he's like, yep, time out, guys. We're done. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. And they even finished the first round. So we couldn't even have him FRL, you know, like he was done. Right. I think if you look at his strokes gained here, he suits this place in a lot of ways. And he's obviously playing well right now. And I think the whole injury thing is like a Belichick thing. I think it's just to like take attention away and kind of like, you know, just like I know that guy knows English. You walk by him and there's no cameras around. You're like, hey, Hideki. And he's like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, forget it. Like that guy's like DJ. He's got us all. Like he's got the whole media duped, right? Like I think those three guys are hitting it good enough to take Scotty on. And you know, before he won at Genesis, his last top 10 of, you know, was here at Players a year ago. So that's another name I'll give you.
Yeah.
That one footer he missed on Sunday was tough to watch. Maybe not a one footer, but it was less than 2 feet. That was tough.
I don't know. I mean, I had a pretty good ticket on Zalatoris and he had a 5-shot lead. So I think
going from that
to two down in an after in like nine holes was a little bit tougher to watch than a 1 foot putt.
That's
ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. Well, Hideki is 40-1 is the best number available at FanDuel. So that's pretty attractive.
Yeah.
A good transition to this mid-range CP. I'll start with you. I mean, Wyndham Clark is here. We've talked about the, you know, the lack of respect for this guy. He's bagged two signature events and a major. He's at 50-1. It's crazy. He's one of these ball striking guys who was up there last week, like Keith was saying. Are you going there? Are you going anywhere else in this mid-range CP?
I have the disease of seeing, you know, a really crazy number against next to a really good player. And for me, that's Sahith Theegala this week. He's 65-1. Keith is, I think, celebrating that.
Oh, I love that.
Great.
Love that.
Hear that. He
love it.
The ball kind of shitty with his irons the last 2 weeks, but still gained a bunch tee to green. Seems like a venue fit for his kind of creativity and elite short game. Doesn't have great history here, but as we've talked about, it's a pretty volatile place. I think that could flip on a dime. So already has a win this year. Finished top 10, two of his last three starts. Love Sahith this week.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Keith? You like Sahith here?
I mean, his walk and talk over the weekend is why I am betting him this week. What's the big, you know, the kind of weakness there in Sahith's game that we've seen over the years? It's the driver. He can't get the driver in play. So where does he play well? Well, he plays well at places like TPC Scottsdale, where you could be a little bit wider, right? Just keep it out of the desert. But what he did is walk and talk with NBC over the weekend. He said some really interesting things. And one of them was that he's got this new shot off the tee where he tees it low and he hits this little like punch fade. And he was like, oh, I use it here today. So he's like strategizing with it. And like just the way, if you know players, when they start to talk about certain shots that they love, you could see it in their body language. And he was like walking. And Sahith sometimes is a pretty serious guy when he's in competition. You know, I've seen him kind of give some stern looks to fans and stuff like that with walking around. And man, he looks so happy to talk about that shot. If he's hitting that shot here and he's been playing with some confidence, and I'll give you one more on Sahith, CP. And I love this pick, right? What are the greens here? They are Poa Trivialis. Okay. Sure. What are they at TPC Scottsdale and some of the other places where Sahith plays really well? Hey, who else plays well on Poa Trivialis? Hideki, what are we talking about? Right. Come on. Like I love a little Theegala this week because conjure up the ghost of Cam Smith. I mean, he's not coming. Yeah. So a little Sahith, Hennessy is, man, I like it.
He's got that same creativity 100%.
This tournament's so dangerous for me because I'm looking at all these names now, and yeah, we talked about Wyndham. I still think the lack of respect is insane. I mean,
oh yeah,
this guy is a big game hunter. He's still 50-1. That's, he was 100-1 at Pebble Beach. He was 60-1 last week. You mentioned the scrambling, Keith. Jason Day like pops out at me, and obviously he's a winner here. We mentioned the ball striking and not needing the power. I see Corey Connors that jumps out at me, but right below that, Tom Hoagie, who finished T3 here last year, I'm looking it up, and it's like I haven't heard one thing about this guy this year. He's gone T6 at Pebble, T17 Phoenix, 8th at Genesis, T28 at Cognizant, and then T12 at Bay Hill. I mean,
he's played every week, too. Really? It's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, again, maybe not outright here, but, like, a top 10 Tom Hoagie. I'm really liking that after looking at these recent results from him and given, obviously, the way he played here last year. And again, another guy who's not, like, a bomber, but, man, those irons are sharp.
Position golf. Yeah, you were on him last week, right, Keith?
The week before. At Cognizant. And I've been on him. I've been on him twice. And, you know, it's been middling results, but he's still the number one approach player in the field. And those last four winners we talk about in March, those guys have gained almost 7 shots on the field with their approach game. Wow. So Tom Hoagie's going to be right there in the mix. I definitely think he's a card builder. He's, you know, somebody you could diversify your bets with outright wise. I don't know. I need somebody who can light it up a little bit more. You got to make some birdies here because you're going to have some bogeys on your card. And as much as Tom Hoagie hits it really close, he's an average putter and he doesn't hit it as close as Scotty as often as he does. So yes, I mean, I'm sitting here knowing that last year, you know, I was down here and he shot the course record, but you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, like,
yeah, top 20 bet, I think, is a good way to handle it.
Yeah.
And so well, and you know, good history here.
Yeah.
I like that. You guys talked me out of Russell Henley, at least a first round leader. You know, he's in that AM PM split that CP talked about. He goes off at 8:46 with Big Skillet, Bryce Garnett, and the Strick Show. I mean, the vibes are going to be immaculate in that group. You know, he's got two top 25s, like Keith talked about. Yeah, I don't know that Russell Henley's going to win this tournament, but he's like first round leader King, what do you guys think about Henley, first round leader?
I tried to go against him last week with Corey Connors.
Finished fourth.
Didn't go well. Finished fourth. thought he wouldn't have another good week with the putter. I think he did, but he hit his irons so poorly, I think, at Honda. But Henley is so good with his irons, he can kind of figure that out very quickly. So
it's nice to see his putter going.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, he's one of those four guys. Last name begins with an H that has 2 years inside the top 25. But if we're talking first round leader and you're in a similar price zone, right? Everybody's complaining, and I'm not trying to pick a fight here or anything, Steve, or make you upset about two Mondays ago, but right around that 50-1 number is Shane Lowry. And Shane Lowry, I mean, he's coming off two top fives, and on a Thursday, we all know he's better than a Sunday. So maybe, you know, is Shane Lowry the type of guy that can get after it a little bit more on a Thursday? Maybe that we have more faith in because he's won a major or he's playing really well than Russell. So similar price.
Yeah. And I think matchup wise, you could get him. Our caddy just sent in his picks, and, you know, shout out to the haters who think our caddy picks are fake and made up. These are actually real.
Do people really think that, Steve?
They do. I've seen that on the internet.
Sick people out there.
But our caddy likes Shane Lowry this week over Colin Morikawa. Just doesn't like the form of Morikawa and likes, you know, Lowry to have another good finish. So that could be a good way to attack that. And yeah, we've seen Lowry excel in Florida, 40-1 or so, is pretty decent. So I like that. Any long shots, boys, before we send it out of here? I'll start with you, CP. Any bombs you're building your card with?
I mean, there was a bunch of names I saw way down there that I was just kind of taken aback by. I don't know if I'll bet any of them. Let me pull them up. I mean, one of them was so crazy to me. Like, Scott Stallings has really shown some decent form over the last year or so, and he's down here at like 600-1. I'm not betting it. that
Scott
is
Stallings.
Six hundred to one.
Camilo's another guy way down here. Winner recently, loves playing in Florida. 750-1, like that's ridiculous too. So yeah, there's just some crazy names, but I think it's for a reason. I think an elite player is going to win this week. Keith mentioned it before. If cream kind of rises to the top at this event every year, especially since it's moved to March. So as much as I love so many of these names down here and the triple digits odds next to them, I don't really particularly love any long shots to actually win the golf tournament this week.
Camilo, maybe first round leader, I don't know, 600-1 to win in this field. Keith,
if you really want to take a shot on somebody, Matthew Pavon has obviously been playing very well.
What's he at? Yeah.
150-1.
Hmm. Talk about lack of respect.
Our boy Bez, he was, we go back to that Players in 2020. People forget.
People do.
Yep.
Coat held the first round lead for a brief moment before Hideki kind of went nuclear. So Bez is down here at 150-1 as well.
Yep, I like it. Keith, other long shots you like, maybe a little further down than 600-1?
a little shorter than that. But I'm gonna stick with the triple digits, so because people love bombs, and maybe they're playing DFS and they're looking for some, you know, some value down at the bottom of the board, or they're looking for some top 40s. But there's three guys that I think kind of suit this place and are sitting at 100-1, right around there on most boards. First one, he's been playing great. And this guy won last year at Colonial. He's got two wins in his PGA Tour career, and he was always known as a ball striker and couldn't putt. Well, since the year the calendar turned over, he's been putting great, and the ball striking's still there. So Emiliano Grillo is somebody that has my attention, because he's the type of guy that could pop up around here because he'll just keep it in play all week. And then if the putter kind of works, great. Another guy who's been trending the right way, and everybody's waiting for this guy to make his ascent to the next level. He played really, really good at the President's Cup a couple of years ago. Last year, he started his year injured, but towards the end of the year, he just rattled off top 10 after top 10 after top 10. Cam Davis, he was top 8 here last year, kind of suits the place. And then the third one, in that Australian theme, he was a big disappointment last week, but it's the 20th anniversary at 100-1. Talk me off the ledge, Alex, or either of you guys, on Adam Scott. I mean, his approach numbers are really, really good. And, you know, he's out there with the Australians as kind of the godfather of that group. And he's showing them around and he's hitting it better than all of them. So, I mean, he's got that lab putter, works for Willie Z, works for them all. 20-year anniversary. The world is round, guys.
Mm. The Aussies play well at Sawgrass. Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, they do play well.
Yeah. I think, yeah. You know, Jason Day and Minwoo Lee, you know, they're keeping him young a little bit. We saw the selfie that the tour posted. Oh, yeah. Earlier today, so yeah, 100-1. That's a no brainer. Myers, any final thoughts?
Well, I not quite 100-1, but I'm seeing Harris English at 90-1. Some of these numbers are kind of jarring to me. I like him. Cam Davis was jumping off too. I've seen him here at 90. Keith, he's not quite down there, but I wanted to ask you thoughts because it's a guy we've all bet on and we've kind of gotten tired of betting on. And I know he was around a little last week, but Sung Jae Im, 75-1. I mean, this is a guy we're used to seeing, you know, 35-40-1. I mean, he's way down right now. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I was happy to see him. This is last week was my fifth tour event of the year, all of which Sung Jae had been at, and I had not seen him. I was told he was there in the field, but he had not shown up. So last week he did show up to API, and I thought that was very nice of him. I would say the jury's still out on him. Alex, pump the brakes, pull the e-brake, whatever you got to do. Harris English, like Tom Hoagie, he's going to be one of those guys. Oh, he's just sauntering in here. Look at the record, man. He's got like 18 straight missed cuts at this place. Sometimes a golf course just doesn't suit your eye. It just doesn't.
I must be remembering.
You know?
I think he made an albatross, I think, on 11 once.
Yeah, there's some highlight. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's just in my head. I don't know. I feel like I've seen his name a bunch this year.
It was on Thursday or Friday. I could tell you that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, Harris has been very, very good this year. I mean, all kidding aside, he's playing very, very well. And he's much better suited to a place that's a U.S. Open style golf course like last week. This year, I think some of his strengths are mitigated. And, you know, he's such a great putter. And you can win here without being a great putter. So I think, like with Rory, with the driver, I mean, Rory's driving the ball. It's such an elite status. This is not the greatest place for that. And the left miss he has with his irons is really not good. So.
Yeah, this approach.
Adam had a top 10 bet on him last week, so I know all about that.
Yes, we do. I went pretty heavy on it outright, too.
Brutal
on what everyone was saying. So,
yeah.
Not going there this week.
Exactly. I'm not staying away this week.
No. In fact, he's our caddy's fade this week on Rory. So, not to give away all of our picks, people should go to golfdigest.com, check out the expert picks column. Keith is a member of our expert picks panel. That's been around since 2018, by the way, since gambling was legalized and, you know, still one of the leading spaces for golf betting picks. And it's all free. And Keith's, we're excited to have Keith as a member of that panel now. So go check out golfdigest.com for that and all the great betting content that Keith's going to be producing for us through Read the Line. Excited to see all of this come together. So, Keith, this is great to have you on here. Thanks for taking some time from a busy Players Week to you know, talk us out of some bets, talk us into some bets. I think we're all betting Siwoo Kim. All betting on a couple other ones you talked us into, though. So thanks, man. This is great.
I tell you what, you know what's really great? And I appreciate all the kind words, but the reaction in the media center to what we're about to build for golf betting is off the charts. People are just so excited, and it brings such a smile to my face. So everything you mentioned there, it's not hyperbole. Just folks, just wait. Just wait.
And don't ignore the LPGA stuff, too, because Keith is very sharp with the LPGA. So all that's coming on golfdigest.com. Check that out. So with that, enjoy the players. Thanks to our producer, Greg Gottfried. Thanks to Keith for joining us, CP and Myers for this bonus pod, Players Edition. Check out The Loop, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, like, all that good stuff. We're on a run of great guests, including Keith. And check back next week to see, you know, us finally cashing a golf bet with Keith's advice and who our next guest is. See ya.